Okay, I will go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety to order. It is approximately 5:16 on March 27th. Roll call, please.
Weigle?
Here.
Daniel?
Here.
Crowder?
Here.
In front of you are the minutes for the meeting on March 13th. Were there any changes? Because I found one. On the third page, very last paragraph, Jeff Walker explained we had a callback provision. I think it's supposed to be a clawback provision.
That's correct.
Claw?
Clawback, yes. So we can claw back our money or claw back our whatever the case may be. In case there was also an advice, but I'll let you know about that.
Really?
Yep.
She did it
different
this time.
And on the 2 pages later from that, third paragraph down, at the very end, it says Weigle agree. It should be agreed. And I think that is it that I have. So for that meeting, which was again on March 13th, is there any other changes? You guys just leave it up to me now, don't you?
Pretty much, yeah. I claw back and call back. I don't hear very well.
Okay, then I'll take a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes as presented with said accept or spelling changes.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you. Next up is the Board of Works special session for March 16th. I do want to note that in the last paragraph, second line, Dan stated something in regards to gotten a taste of the cat, and I appreciate that being in the minutes, to make light of the situation.
I didn't realize these were in here. They should be in here.
They should not be in here? Okay, so we will pass on that.
Can you take them out of those over there? They should not have been. I didn't even forgot to tell her not to have those in there.
Okay. So at some point we have to...
Yeah, you can just approve that we have a meeting, but we aren't being just all commands.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is that because of special session?
Yeah.
But even though it's a public meeting, special session minutes are not available?
Oh, I thought this was an executive.
No,
that's okay.
The special
well, then
session.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
That was the executive session.
On the second page, it's not a huge change, but on the second page of that, in the first paragraph, 7 lines down at the very end, it said he agreed that a pack of dogs. That was the only change I had. Any further changes? Can I have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the special session Board of Works for March 16th as presented with the one correction that has been mentioned.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you. Next up are the pay requests from Donahue and Associates. Jeff?
Sure. This is your wastewater miscellaneous improvements project that is currently going on at the treatment plant, although you won't see a lot of activity from the contractor. At this point, it's a long lead time, equipment orders. Primarily what's being billed right now is the contractor will take the specifications and work with those and the manufacturer to develop drawings for approval, shop drawings for the design firm to review on our behalf. And that's where the process is at. They're turning in all these shop drawings and being reviewed by Donahue and Associates to make sure that they match the specifications that we're getting. Everything is in order on this invoice. It would be my recommendation for the next favorite thing, some $4,115.56.
Any questions of Jeff?
What percentage are they at in this?
As far as the contractor, or, I mean, this is about 20% of Donahue's overall. It's a not exceed 20,000.
Right.
We're still really early in the project as far as the contractor. Like I said, it's ordering equipment right now. We won't see a lot of activity until summer.
Okay. And was there a date on this to be done by?
It was
recall?
Based off of the long lead time.
Okay.
Walt, and I want, yes, there is.
And
it seems to me it's around October.
Okay.
Something like that. It was, do you recall?
September or October?
It was right in that. It was late in the year.
Okay.
This year, though. Still this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Then I will, I guess, make a motion to pay invoice number 12148-02 for a total of $4,115.96 to Donahue and Associates.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up is American Structure Point.
As you can see from this billing cycle, there's three different categories that have been worked on, but primarily it's been a road design and the water and sewer utility design work. Everything is in order. My recommendation to report out favorably in the sum of $5,606.30.
Any other questions?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and pay $5,660.30 to American Structure Point, invoice number 54564.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Mayor, I do have a question for Jeff. It's been repetitious for many months, but Structure Point at some point in time was going to come in and do an update. In regards, this is for the 205 project, correct?
Well, I thought that that was part of the public hearing. If you wanted them to come in, Scott's available anytime.
Okay.
Now.
I'm open for suggestions. I was just trying to see where that next.
We're still in that environmental phase. And once you dump the environmental and the approval from the interior for the mitigation of the purchase of property, then we can have a public hearing where they actually put the anticipated design up onto easels and invite the public in as part of our obligation. And I don't know if we have to reacquire the parent right away from the eight parcels along the route or after that public hearing. But as far as an update, the thing is they can't show the designs until public hearing.
Okay.
That's just
part of that process, I understand.
But if you want an update, Scott can come in anytime. He's open to that, certainly. But he's basically going to get, I hate to say this, lip service like me instead of pictures until the public hearing.
Okay. Excuse me. You've answered my question.
I think I shared with the board that it could take up to 4 months for this process that we're currently in right now. No one has had jumped through these hoops before, so it's a guesstimate as far as time.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is the street closing permit. Kind of different than the usual street closing permits we have in regards to it's a community garage sale out at Eagle Glen. I know that that's kind of gone through. I know we've had it before. Tom, you want to take it? Okay.
My concern on that was, I'm kind of threw Tim under the wheels of the bus on this one. There was a year or two ago, we had a run out there during the same time frame that was happening, and there was a car that was going opposite the direction we made one way, and really put a tailspin on everybody if it's not enforced and kept from that happening. When you do have a car that's going in the wrong way, it was a problem, a bad problem, because people had nowhere to go. So that's why I threw that on there. It was not that I was being facetious in
yep.
that way.
Okay. Tim, do you want to talk at all about it, or?
It's going to be hard to prevent that from happening. I can have somebody kind of in and out of the area, but if somebody decides to go that way, it's going to be difficult to stop that. I mean, I don't know that I would have the manpower to assign somebody to be out there, you know, for 12 hours.
I can't resist since I live out there. Last year, there were people parking in the restricted area parking. And the problem was that they would be parked and they'd walk around the entire Ravenwood Brookside Trail area. The officers wouldn't even know how to get hold of these people to have them move. I guess you could call a tow truck, but then you've got a PR issue too.
Mm-hmm.
There is a problem out there, but I'm not sure exactly how to go about addressing it.
Well, yeah, I guess I wonder if maybe we can encourage the community association out there to maybe make sure that all the people who are doing garage sales are I guess conscious of that, and if they see somebody doing that type of thing, just, you know, making sure that they're being vocal about it. I think we probably could pass that on to Nicole, and I think she would take that.
In the areas that are restricted, like I'll just reference to like the 4-H, I mean, you put, you know, proactively we put signs up. It does
signs and cones and barricades
out here that as well,
yeah.
due to the congestion. But I know sometimes it doesn't help, but at least it's something. So, yeah.
Okay. Any questions or concerns about this? This has been going on for a couple of years now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Pushing.
So. Seems to be a good thing. I think last year I went out there and maybe halfway through the event on that Friday, there was not much stuff left. So I guess it gets hit pretty hard at the beginning. So. Okay, any further discussion? Then can I have a motion?
I'd make a motion that we support the request of the street closing for May 11th and May 12th for the community garage sale located at Eagle Glen, and make it a one-way as requested and identified on the application.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you. Before, let's go to bills, and then I'll talk about something else. Okay. So, have you had a chance to review the bills? And were there any questions on those?
I had a couple, but Rosie has already clarified them
okay.
for me. So.
Great. Thanks for doing that. Okay. So, can I have a motion then?
Move that we pay the bills as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Before we go to department reports, I wanted to bring up something that Councilman Simpson has asked me to bring up, and that is, and I'm so glad you're here, Bill, is in regards to the cemeteries and the hours that the cemeteries are open. I guess in the past, I don't know if it's just been recently or just overall in the past, there's been some issues with citizens, mainly kids, being in the cemeteries after dark, and with the Board of Works having the the responsibility under Chapter 91.03 of the Rules and Regulations of the City, says the Board of Public Works and Safety shall prescribe all necessary rules and regulations with reference to the management of the cemeteries. I guess I want to open for discussion the a proposal by Councilman Simpson of taking a look at maybe changing the hours of the cemeteries of, I guess, being open to the same type of hours as the Parks Department. So that would give some enforcement ability to our police officers to stop things like vandalism and, staying out in the cemeteries doing things that maybe not are in the best interest of the public health and safety. And so I guess I just want to open that discussion. Some facts ahead of time, that the hours of designation for the park are between 5 a.m. and 11 p.m. Any non-lighted recreational activity or event open for use during daylight hours, so basically dawn to dusk. I think it would be appropriate for us to change the rules and regulations of the cemeteries inside the city limits to follow that same type of rule and be dawn to dusk. So I'd like to present that for at least discussion, and we don't have to make a decision today, but I'd like to at least bring it up to have some discussion about it.
What is it today?
Currently, I don't believe there's hours at all.
No hours, okay.
I haven't been out there for quite a while. Is there anything posted currently? Or?
There used to be a sign posted in front of Green Hill years ago that said 11 o'clock, I think. It's been a long time since that's been there.
So
it's not in the ordinance.
Yeah, there's...
I guess if we're going to go past, I think it needs to be posted out there to help educate people that are going out in there. But, if we do, I don't have a problem changing it to match the hours. I think that's probably a good idea for enforcement purposes. So.
And Marcia, if we were to change that, would that need to be an ordinance change? Or because it gives us the power as the Board of Works to basically control those cemeteries, how would we, do we just make a rule with that and then it goes into enforcement, or would we have to do an actual...
I'll tell you what, let me see what we got right now, because okay. If there's anything in here...
Well, what I said, it was 93, 91...
Chapter 91.
Okay, 0.03 is the rules and regs. Oh, well, 91 overall, yeah. So, don't mean to spring this on you, but I've had it in my box for a while. And
But there's nothing that I'm reading so far, unless I haven't got to it, that talks about what do you do if they are in there after 11 p.m.
Right.
Where the park has some.
Has some, yes, exactly.
So I'm
That's what I guess I'd like for us to take a look at, is giving the police officers some teeth, if you will, or being able to, first of all, make sure that there are fair hours for those cemeteries, and then obviously to give the officers discretion to be able to enforce those ordinances or those rules or whatever it ends up being.
Mayor,
yes.
if you are going to do that, then you do have to put that in ordinance.
In an ordinance. Okay. Okay, so basically we would suggest to the city council that we'd like to do that, and then they would decide whether or not an ordinance...
Correct.
Okay.
And what that's going to entail and whether fines are going to be in part
gotcha.
Of that and so forth.
Okay.
Yep. But the governing body would still fall back to the Board of Works to enforce the ordinance or support the
right,
ordinance.
Correct.
Yeah. So I
current fines are there current fines established for the park? They found back there between that time, or is that something that we're going to have to look at the park as well? If they're
mm-hmm.
What are the penalties
there's
for?
There's the amount for the violation in the park. Should be the same, I think, if we're
going to... I don't have that in front of me, Dan, so we can...
I think Marcia's going to look it up.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Marcia.
I think on the cemetery, the way that originally started, we didn't have that cemetery. It belonged to the Green Hill Cemetery Association. And I think at that time, those were their rules and regulations.
The 11 o'clock was? Or
whatever?
Whatever
was posted out there, I don't remember. I'd have to go back. I can look at their agreement. But then when they gave it to us, we never did much of it. Mm-hmm. Take it over.
Okay. So, but you know, I do think that it's at least a good time to take a look at it and really say, okay, well, should we be having citizens and youth in those cemeteries after dusk? And we, you know, you can if we want to suggest a time limit, like the 5 to 11 or something like that, we could do something to that effect. Or if we wanted to do dawn to dusk, that could also be a suggestion to the city council. But I do think that having something that is enforceable for the police department is important, especially as we've noted over the past couple of years, having vandalism happening in the cemeteries and things like that, that we can.
I think the time change that we're presently under would be tough to regulate, because it could be 9 o'clock at night and still be plenty of daylight to be in the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And so,
you mean for the hourly?
Yeah, I think the hourly would be tough to regulate.
Yeah,
so I think again, discretion of the officer, and you know, from dawn till dusk, at the discretion of the officer, because again, there might be a situation of a family member that would go out there in a situation. Okay,
right.
That could be valid.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I think again, that's the discretion of the officer, mm-hmm, to make that call. But at least, you know.
Well, I guess part of me says there's so many variables in that dusk to dawn. You know, my first thought is if it's from 5 to say 10, you know, we pretty much cover, or 5 to 11. Mm-hmm. You know, that does cover daylight time, mm-hmm, whether it's daylight savings time or whichever. I think if I don't know how you're going to hold up in any kind of a questionable situation, you know, unless you go by that day's, you know, weather report that says dusk is at 8:02 or 9:00. I mean, you know, that could be left, yeah, up for interpretation.
From the enforcement standpoint, if you set it at sunrise to sunset, then we go by the official sunrise and sunset time.
So, oh, you do.
6:02 that day and 6:04 the next day, those are the times that we use. It's not, you know, we don't guess.
So okay.
Because there's other state statutes, like required with headlights required, things like that, that we go by the official sunset and sunrise. So we do that in other laws as well.
I would think that the bulk of it would be covered from 11 to 5. That would cover the bulk of the issues that we've had in the past, from my opinion.
It would make it clear for people that don't understand what dusk and dawn, I guess, you know, if they want to fight that, if you got a number down, that's going to clarify it a lot more.
I'm okay either way. I was just,
yeah,
trying to.
No, I get
it. I don't know if there's a wrong answer, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at that from simplicity's sake. Yes.
Right.
And that gives people plenty of time if they do, you know, they're coming in and out of town to see grandma or whatever.
Yeah. Marcia, did you find?
On the parks, we actually have a provision. It's 5 to 11, as I think you already mentioned, but we don't have any penalty provision for that. So the penalties and enforcement of that don't apply. They skip it.
I don't know if we've ever had anybody tell us no. We don't believe.
Well, I mean, they're not supposed to be there. There's just no penalty for.
So you can tell them to leave, but you can't fine them for being in there.
Correct.
Maybe we need to review.
Well, I was gonna say, but so maybe. So, and I know how much Bill enjoys looking over ordinances and trying to change them. So, we may. Okay. Well, so would it be, I guess, then a recommendation from the Board of Works that we set that recommendation from the Board of Works to the Common Council that they put together an ordinance that prescribes cemetery hours to be between 5 a.m. and 11 p.m.? Yeah, okay.
Second.
Okay. So the motion is second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you for that discussion. I thought that was very good. And we will get to a couple of the other issues as we go through department head reports. So let's go ahead.
I have a. We're going to come back around?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll wait my turn.
Okay, right. Thanks. Tom.
I've been, or the volunteers have asked about the 1958 fire truck that was donated 3-4 years ago, maybe longer, time flies. And Rosie has the file there. They've been asked and approached by somebody wanting to buy this thing. It was a donated truck to us. The city has holds the title, but if the volunteers say if they do get rid of it, they want the money for it. And so I guess my question is, and do I bring it to you or to the common council to ask if they sell that truck, can they put the money back over into their fund? It was donated to the volunteer fire department.
Is it titled to the city?
Yeah, and I had talked to State Board of Accounts, and they said since it was in the city's name that you guys should just say, you know, if you want them to have it, is this, yeah, go ahead and sell it, and the volunteers can put the money in.
You guys being the Board of Works?
Yeah. It was just when I had a title, I just automatically put it in the city's name, because I do that with all of them.
Mm-hmm. Does the volunteers have a account to put that money into then?
Yeah, and I believe they wanted to use it for the candy or...
They were going to put it over the candy
museum.
Line.
Yeah.
They do. They can have up to so much money. Rosie keeps track of that money, and it gets audited in the whole kitchen. There's a cap on the amount they can have.
This was a fire truck, like you said, it was donated. It had no correlation to the history of Columbia City other than they donated it.
Correct. It sits outside behind the museum at this point.
Okay.
The engine is blown.
And I think the last time you talked about that, it was under, what was it, $1,000, around $1,000, or I'm not sure.
I believe it was $1,800, $1,750 that they offered. Well, I don't know the exact dollar. It was not a great deal of money.
Yeah, I think it was some farmer wanted it for working in his fields.
And the volunteers have suggested this route?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. I just think that we probably should make it official, you know, get the in writing of what they're offered for the truck, and so that we can approve that based upon, you know, the dollar value. Because right now it's kind of just all verbal. But I think we should go through the process and make sure we get a donation cost or something that can be filed, you know, for future reference. I mean, I just think we need to do paperwork.
I'm okay with that. I think, as you can tell, I think we're, you know, fairly comfortable with that plan of action, but we'd like to have a hard document, if you will, in front of us.
I remember when it was donated, it never made it from Fort Wayne to here without the engine blowing in it.
So, okay.
Yeah,
just make sure the language is as is.
Yes.
Good call.
I know he's wanted for parts, is what they're...
I don't care.
Okay. Very good. Anything else, Tom?
Nope. Continuing to train and springtime is upon us, and basically trying to open some things up and get things up and going. So, yeah, I know Troy's been on top of generator issues that we had here a couple months ago, and they ended up putting, Terry may know more about this than me, they put a thing on it so even our generator does a self-check on a weekly basis, or they're going to be putting that on there, because ours did not have that when it failed. I guess if somebody didn't go back and manually start the check, it didn't check itself. So.
Okay. Any questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Kelly.
We started cleaning up the cemetery, getting stuff off the to start the mowing process coming up, and we have a lot of graves to fix from winter time and stuff. And wanted to thank Mark for the use of their Kubota. It's really helpful in driving up and down the rows and cleaning up and trimming and stuff like that where you can't get a truck in there. So I wanted to thank him for that. The jet machine's been out cleaning catch basins, trying to go through all those and get them material out of them before we get too far into spring here. And then we did some ditch work try to correct the water problem. And we've had the two machines out, chip and brush, on each side of town starting Monday. The west side's done. We went through the alleys and the streets, just did everything this first time. And we still got some. We had one of our machines that had an issue, a plugged up chute at the end of the day today, so we got to finish up the east side tomorrow. And we've had 50 work orders and we completed. I wanted to thank Larry for the use of the other chipper. That was a big help. So that's all I have at this time.
Great.
Questions?
Has there been an excessive amount of limbs? I noticed at the end of Holden and Jeffrey, somebody chopped down an entire tree and stuck it out there.
Yeah, we contacted that person today.
I figured I'd be getting a phone call.
I think it was a good article in the paper. I think did a great job defining the do's and the don'ts, and so I think that was good information. I know it's tough to, how do you get that information out? And I don't, flyers that, you know, maybe when people pay their bill, you give them a flyer, and just I'm just trying to think of ways to help pass the word, because there's a lot of don'ts that you don't want that people assume that may be okay. So just a thought.
Along with that, people were mowing their grass and blowing it right in the road again. I drove by and, like, you know, understand that they don't understand, obviously, or they wouldn't be blowing their grass in the
stream
side of the road again. But it seems like every year we have to go over that, and some people listen and some obviously don't.
I can put that into one of my mayor's memos in the paper. Just, I don't know how many people actually read it. But I can put it in there just to mention that.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to be conscious of that kind of stuff.
I think it helps you putting that in, you know, just about blowing the snow out in the streets,
yeah,
too. I mean, stuff like that.
I don't know how much it helped, because by the time I think it ran, we were done with snow, but.
It was 80 degrees.
It was 85 degrees and the sun was out. But, yeah. Okay. Any other questions to Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Mark?
A little update on baseball and softball. Registration is now over, and teams are being picked, actually, as we speak, softball. But both softball and baseball have had an increase in registration. Softball significantly. They have a lot more, probably about 30% more kids, girls. That's huge. That's great. So that's exciting, and it's underway, and uniforms are ordered. And also, you have the high school season started, so they're practicing after school. Their first home game is April 9th. And so you have to get concession stands ready and things like that. So we'll be meeting as the concession staff next week and start getting ready for our scheduling. Mother and son event, we're selling some tickets for that. Started to pick up a little bit. That's April 27th. And so just keep promoting that. We started mowing this week. Obviously, it's pretty thick, very wet, and tall, long grass. So it looks nice, but it's kind of like retraining your staff again on mowing. So that's kind of where we're at. We started something this past weekend, which I think was went over really well. It was our first weekend to have a staff member there working on Saturday for 4 hours and someone on Sunday for 4 hours. When Monday morning came around, it made a huge difference with the amount of time we needed to pick up trash and clean bathrooms. So it just was a great help for us to be able to do that. We're going to do that throughout the summer and the fall. We'll do that with, not right now, it's full-time staff, but we'll be doing that with part-time staff once we have them. Right now we don't. Wygent's Excavating was offered a bid to grade and disc the whole field and add drainage down there. Talked to James Wygent today, and they plan on starting that sometime in May. We'll be interviewing tomorrow and Thursday for the administrative assistant position. So we're happy to be going with that. Easter egg hunt. Easter egg hunt was done by the park until a couple years ago. Rotary took that over, and they're still having it at the park. That's April 5th at 6 o'clock. So I just wanted to let people know that.
Can we get that on Facebook if we haven't done that yet? Thanks, Tara.
I thought that people might want to know when that's coming up. And the bid opening, we had a pre-bid meeting yesterday morning with some contractors interested in bidding for the bridge and the trail. that's in process now, and those are due April 12th. That's when we'll open them at 3:30 here. And so hopefully those come out good. Want to thank Kelly, Bill at Jesus Payloader, and Mike at Jesus Bobcat for a while. But we delivered mulch, the leaf mulch from the back to our gardens. You'll see piles of leaf mulch around the different gardens. Some of the landscapers or gardeners wanted to spread that themselves, and others say no. We want Community Corrections to do that. So Monday and Tuesday next week, Community Corrections will be helping us out, spreading out that mulch. Hopefully we get a lot of it done. But there's mulch all over the place right now. So that's really all I have.
I was just wondering if we could have a meeting between the high school and the park, so that way we could have a open line of communication so everybody understands what's going on down there. With, I think last I heard there's a possibility of 66 teams between everything that's going on, plus, you know, which trying to schedule those diamonds and schedule high school games. And I think if we could build a bridge between the two with having an open line of communication, have a meeting between the two of the entities so we can come to an understanding of what everything's going on down there. So it's I can't imagine trying to schedule those. We got six diamonds, trying to figure out how to get all those teams on there, and then the high school coming in as well, and, you know, commanding some space as well, because we have to. So if we could kind of form a communication line between the two, I think that would help us, both of us, I mean, high school and the city, out immensely if we could kind of form some kind of a communication line.
Sure.
It might be easier, make things a lot easier, because we have a significant amount of significant more kids than mm-hmm. So, you know, I just wonder if we could set something up so we can.
Yeah, I think we can, Dan, and we probably could have a member of the park board there too. I think that'd be helpful, and I don't know who you want to have from the school corporation, but I think it's a wonderful time to have that discussion. We'll have to make sure we get that scheduled in some way, shape, or form. Do you guys go ahead?
No, I was going to say I'm sure the athletic director would participate in mm-hmm. in that discussion mm-hmm. or information flow. Or
yep.
So.
And so, do you guys want to? You guys can be kind of the bridge.
Yeah, we put that together. I mean, currently, I use today's example. You know, I called my communications. I talked to Jeff. I called him today about an issue, and then he kind of talked to Steve and. Got back with me, but we can definitely, I'm sure Jeff and I can get together with you, Dan, and Steve, and park board member. We can do that whenever. So
you guys take, you guys can set that up, and if you need me there, just let me know. But okay.
I have some comments from the public, Mark, and I'm sure you've heard this with the pool, because the pool's been a topic for many years, many months, but. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's still a strong interest in the pool, and glad to see it's opening this year. But getting some feedback about the hours of availability of being open, and because I think you close at 5 or 6.
Close at 6.
Well, there's some interest that I'm getting feedback on that they'd like to see maybe one or two nights during the week that it's open later for the people who get off work later in the evening, but still there's daylight till, you know, several hours after 6 o'clock. So I didn't know if you've had any interest in that, or if that's an option.
We used to be. Okay. We used to be open until 8, and we hardly had anybody there. So then you're paying three guards to be there.
I'm just giving you some feedback.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is, and I think they understand that it's tough to regulate that because there is overhead expense, but is there one day out of the week that you
probably
know that you could look at one day out of the week instead of 5 days later, or seven days?
One of the biggest money makers that we have is our splash parties, and those are after hours.
Okay.
Where people run out our pool for 2 hours.
Sure.
And 6 to 8 or 8 and 8 to 10. Because we weren't getting people there for just open swim.
Right.
So we were happy that we were actually getting people there. But we could do that one or two nights a week.
Well, just some feedback. Maybe you can evaluate it to see if there's any value. But again, I understand the cost and understand the investment. But, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to see if there's an interest and maybe to grow and take off, or we need more nights. But
right
now, it's
well,
pretty well.
We can do that. That's not a problem.
And I can say I've received those same comments on Facebook.
Okay.
We'll work we can work on something.
We can easily do that. That's not a problem.
Yeah, we can work on something, and I don't know what that means, but we can work on something in regards to that, because I know that's, you know, there's a lot of people that have been saying that kind of thing.
Okay.
So.
And again, it's all been positive, Mark. None of it's been negative. They just said, boy, I wish we could. And, you know, it's just, okay. They're just glad to see it continues.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions of Mark? Thanks, Mark. Tim.
Well, last week I had the opportunity to go to Chief School at the Academy. It was all week long. I had some really good classes, some valuable training. I had a chance to network with chiefs from all over the state. There's actually 58 new police chiefs that were at the school. So, real small departments to large departments and everything in between. It was interesting just to sit down with those guys and just chat about, you know, common goals and issues and things like that. So, it was helpful. We have scheduled a drug awareness program. It's going to be held April 26th at 6 p.m. at the library. And this class is going to be in conjunction with the school system, where they're going to send an email out to parents and give them an opportunity to come to this class. The class will address the growing problem we have with K2, spice, things like that, and some of the other illegal drugs that we're facing. And Detective Stevenson is going to be putting on that class. We're going through policies, just trying to see if we need to do changes. And come to the realization that it's going to be a long process, and so I think we're going to start a policy committee and find some officers that would be willing and are able to be a part of that committee. So we're going to look into that and get a committee started and have regular meetings to review policy and make changes as we need to. And then next week we have active shooter training scheduled. And I'll just train guys on how to respond properly. The first initial responding officers, how to respond to active shooter situations. And I want to thank the school system for letting us use their facilities for those trainings. So that's awesome that they let us use the school for those trainings. That's it.
Tim, maybe in the future, at a future council meeting, maybe we could set up another. I know that in the past, Chip has came in and did a presentation on bath salts and K2 and spice, and especially because the new law is in effect now.
Yes.
And since we have three new council members, it may be a good refresher for them. So maybe at a future council meeting, if he would be willing to come in and do a truncated version of that.
Sure.
Maybe something would be worthwhile, I think.
Just a 10, 15 minutes or 10 minutes.
Something, yeah. I mean, I don't know what was done the last time, but something like that, it would just be helpful, I think, for our council to understand.
He has a PowerPoint made up already, so he'll take lunch, and I'm sure he'd be happy to do it.
Okay.
Bring some.
He really did. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were joking.
So you can smell the aroma.
Oh, okay. So you knew what the smell was.
It only took 2 hours.
I don't remember.
I was pretty hungry.
That's good. Okay. Any other questions of Tim or comments? Thanks, Tim. Larry?
We're continuing with our stump grinding, which is going along very well. We did some boring at the countryside trailer park last winter. We lost one of the phases in between transformers, and by the means of our back feeding, we were able to continue having services for those trailers. The only thing is we lost our loop, so we got that rather than do a lot of trenching through that trailer park. We had Julia come in and bore that. We got the conduit in and out, so we're ready to pull the wire. We were able to get in behind the Big Ten Center, which we've been wanting to do for some time, and do a lot of trimming. Change a junction box at 305 North Columbia Parkway. Change the pole on Spear Road. Also change another pole on Lakeshore. Our pole program is coming along fine. recorders, lots of locates. And a couple years ago, we talked about adding an additional pole building to our facility. I mentioned it again, the our outage, or our retreat, lost retreat. And then I talked to the mayor somewhat about it, and also Rosie, which I got the blessing to go ahead and get some bids in. I invited five different contractors. Out of the five, four responded. And this building, I might add, was 40 by 140 for the street department at our facility, at our maintenance facility. The bids came in. Was the low bid was $48,000, the high bid was $67,000, and one's in between. And that is building only. The street department has offered to pour the cement, supply the the labor and things for this. Also, we would have a asphalt approach. And the cement, cost of the cement was another $10,000. The asphalt was $13,000. And I wanted to get the board's blessing, if possible, to go ahead with this project because we have the street department, especially as I was running their facility, and of course, we're getting a new bucket truck at the end of May or first of June. We'll need some extra space too, and we have some equipment now that sits outside. So we're in dire need of more space. And I talked to Rosie. She said that we had the money for it, and so I needed the board's blessing to possibly go ahead with this project.
So if we went with the lowest bid, the total cost would be $71,000.
That's including concrete, asphalt, and the actual building.
Now, does those other higher bids, does that just say the building, or is that?
Just the building.
Everything, all just the building.
I got with the people, I give them each the same instructions on the size of the building, the doors, everything.
Does that include electricity to the building? Because I remember the last time we built that other building, there was no electricity to it.
Well, I figured I'd put the electricity in. But we have electricity within 5 feet of the building, so there would be no problem in getting electricity to that new building.
And currently, the electric department owns basically the facility, and the street department basically rents space
right from
the electric department out there.
Yes.
So again, this would be an electric department project with the street department filling that space.
And also, they would be giving up another building that we were going to take advantage of by putting our equipment or our wire or things like that in there that we're so cramped up as needing extra space too. So that would give them the complete new building and us their 40 by 70, Kelly?
Yeah.
We would be gaining a 40 by 70 for the electrical department to get, you know, our trenchers and things like that put in that building so that would ease up the space that we have in our main building.
Well, one of the things that I think we have to be careful of, it seems like all of the departments are experiencing some growing pains, to say the least. I mean, it extends all the way from the police department all the way to the water, and I mean, everybody seems to fire, everybody is seeming to have some growing pains.
here recently. I mean, we're not 5,000 population anymore. We're actually 8,600. And I can see where, you know, they have a need. Water department has a need for another building. Police department's struggling on where to store evidence. I mean, everybody's seeming to have some problems here with space. You know, we're, I'm trying to figure out, is there a way to, you know, make some things happen here that, I mean,
yeah.
Instead of just, you know, one here, pretty soon we got all these different individual projects going.
Well, I think to kind of touch on some of that stuff, Tim and Larry, have you guys talked about space usage? Have we found maybe a potential solution there? Or are we still working on it?
For some of our items, I think we can use some of the storage space out there at the upper level of that building.
So are you still going to need additional space?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So we've worked out the police spacing issue then, it sounds like.
Tim went up and I showed him the facility.
Okay. You just need some. You need to cage it or secure it. I mean,
it depends on what items we decide to put out there.
Yeah.
So the stuff that we don't put out there, we can put here in City Hall or somewhere else that's in a secured space. Okay. Yes is the answer. Okay. And then with Mike, your building is part of the bond issue. Okay. And assuming that continues to go through and the things happen that we expect to happen, that's a part of the current bond issue,
yeah.
Or the future bond issue for that piece. And then, so this is a new thing with Larry and Kelly.
I might add that the size of this building is not just to accommodate today.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly and I got together and kind of looked toward the future, and hopefully that, you know, this will be down the road 10, 15 years to still be adequate for what our need will be at that time, hopefully.
I had the opportunity to stop out this morning and talk with Larry and
Kelly,
thank you. sorry, Kelly. And again, as you walk through out there, you see there we have invested a lot of money in equipment, and good quality equipment, and equipment that we have is well maintained and well taken care of. In fact, I believe our war space has become a storage space for Mike, right? I think you have something in there. So, you know, everybody's being creative. This has been a topic, and I'll throw it out there, for the past 8 years of trying to accommodate growth of our investments. And I think the good thing is we do have the accommodations to support and keep things inside versus outside. And I think that helps the longevity of our equipment and keeps it in well-maintained running opportunities. Larry shared with me the quotes, and I look at them as a budget. I don't look at them as I'm ready to award anything. I look at it's a budget, and we've got a range, high and low range. And Larry's done a great job of verbally talking with all of the bidders, but there's nothing documented, okay? And so I asked Larry to introduce this as budgetary quotes, but we need to really to put a bid spec together based upon all the information you've collected, that you could put a bid spec together so we know what we're actually getting. If we go forward, we know exactly what we're getting for our investment. And that hasn't transpired yet. So I look at this in regards to the information is, I think the whole intent was, can we afford it? And the value of doing it. And that's how I looked at it. And as I shared with Larry, I think they have been very patient and been waiting for the past 8 years of waiting for the opportunity to present this again to because they have added more equipment. And again, I think that there's value to do that. But I just think we need to make sure that we go through that process, having a spec of we know what we're getting, and then we can make that, you know, choice of who to award it to.
Before I did any of this, so I talked with Rosie about money, which is our main important thing to talk about, if we can afford it or not afford it, and she said we could definitely afford it, and I give the same instructions, excuse me, to each bidder, so they didn't, none of them go in or come out with bidding a 40 by 50 building versus a 40 by 140. So they all basically have gotten the same instructions, and their quotes seem to me, when Rosie and I opened them, they all seem to be pretty much exactly what they were told to quote on. So I feel very confident that we're going to get a good package with our lowest quote.
Is there a specific ruling on, and I don't, what's the, in regards to how much money you have to, at what time a project turns into a,
if it's anything under $150,000, all they have to do is get three quotes.
Okay, but yeah, but my, I guess my uncomfort level is I treat it no different than we put a quote out to buy a vehicle. We get specs. And Larry, again, I'm not questioning your, but there's nothing documented other than the quotes. So when I look at 48K up to 67K, there's a pretty good range in between that maybe bidder A may interpret something different verbally versus how the high bidder interprets something verbally. And all I'm trying to do is make it very clear that the best, we take any question out of the bids that somebody didn't feel like they misunderstood. And that's, I think that's the, my only question is, I'm not against it, I'm for it, but I just want to make sure we go through the due diligence of the process, no matter it, no matter if it is under 150 or 40,000. I don't have a document in front of me that says this is the bid spec. And that's, you know, it's no different than we just asked for Tom to give us a document to support what we're doing.
I agree. I think we need to see exactly what we're purchasing for that type of money.
The bidders need to be presented the same document so all bidders bid equally. Right. And I don't think that has transpired.
The only thing you have to be careful about now that you've already opened,
we've opened the can of worms.
And if you're going to have to go back and redo the whole thing, that nobody finds out. I don't know if you've told anybody what these bids were. That'll be very unfair.
Just, we haven't mentioned any names.
I have got, excuse me, called about them, but I said that nothing has been decided yet. Nobody knows what the bids were at that.
But as the bids, as you looked over the bids, is there a concern that nobody bid on the same thing?
No.
They all bid on the same thing. So I guess that's the only thing I think. If they all bid on the same thing.
I don't know what they bid on.
What, I sent you the copies.
I understand that.
Oh.
I understand you sent me the copies of their reply, but what did we give them to bid on?
As a standard... As a standard, here's what we want, kind of a thing.
It was just verbal.
It was all verbal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that what's important to know here is that when Larry and Kelly approached me about this, and what I told them was go get some information about cost and all that kind of stuff, and I think you guys have done that. And what I hear from Wald is that if we're going to kind of make this official, is that maybe we should go about this and make sure it's concrete. And I hear Dan saying yes to that also. I know it's going to put it off a little bit. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I just want to make sure that because of what we've done currently, it won't jeopardize what we want to do futuristically speaking. So it sounds to me like everything is okay. Mike, you have something?
I just want to add when you're finished.
Oh, okay. Well, that I basically finished.
I just want to remind the board that we've been waiting for 4 years or so out there. I know Walt's aware of it. Nicole and Dan have all been out there and seen. We already have the building. We already have the structure. We just need concrete for it.
So if he just went through here and just typed up exactly
the specs and sent them out,
and sent them back out again,
is that, would that be appropriate of what you want?
Give them back.
I'm going to work with that.
Yeah.
That's why I shared with Larry. I said, I think, you know, you've done a great job collecting information. Now take that information and massage it into a spec that, and give the same document to all. Well, my question is, can Marshall, does this have to go to just the four people who he invited, or is this actually a public opportunity?
Well, it depends on how you're treating it. I mean, if it's less than the amount, then you're sort of making up your own rules.
Okay.
It's how you want to address it at that point.
I'm okay with the four people that's involved.
Yeah, fine.
And I know that you looked at basically only local contractors, right? So,
well, as long as we have the documents, at least we show that we're accountable for what we're getting. Otherwise, all we have is just that number, and it doesn't really. I mean, there's a little bit of accountability that goes along with that with us when we try to explain, why we're. Patrick will probably take some heat for that, but I mean, I agree it's necessary. It's just if we have something a little more concrete in our hands, so to speak, we can show people why and actually what we're getting.
But I can make up a spec with no problem.
Okay.
And then if that's how you want, I can present it to the four.
Sounds like that would be the way in which we want to go, Larry. And if you want to present those, I guess. Do you want to have a formal opening, or would you like them just to do the opening and then send us the?
I think what the process you've started is fine. I think once you send them the specs and they reply, then we got something. Then you and we've got something to work with.
Right.
So I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And then I'll do like before, take them to Rosie.
Well, we haven't approved anything yet.
Well, I guess
he just had open them with me, so he.
So he had another set of eyes. Okay.
That he didn't open them and tell somebody, hey, go bid lower. So.
And that's fine. And if you want to put together a little packet for us
ahead of time before he puts them out, or what?
No, afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You open them, after it's open, and put together, and then the pages, so that before the next, won't be the next, but before that Board of Works meeting, that we at least have a chance to take a look at them again.
And then what, the bid specs that he sent them, just attach that so we can look at that.
That'll work.
Yeah. Good.
And then in regard, Mike Cook, if you want to put together some.
I'd like to get with Kelly. We talked to him, and he'd made mention that possibly we could do some of it in-house and to see. So
okay.
We'll put together something, and I've got pictures here that I can show you of how we've had to move stuff in and out to work on it.
Right.
If you would like to see those, I mean, we don't have to do that.
And that's the one with the forklift and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, we're pulling it out with a truck and then have our tractor on the rear end lifting it in the air to get it in and out of the building.
And I know that we've talked about that before, and do some fact finding. As I told these guys, go ahead and do some fact finding, put together some numbers and stuff, and then we can have a chat about it like we just have.
Okay.
I think that's kind of, I like this process because it's not just the two of us saying, here it is, and then bringing it to the board and saying, we've already approved it, do it. You know, I'd like to have a conversation. So.
Okay. I won't be supplying his concrete one.
Well, Larry, you can can't you rent it to him?
That's right, in there, rental.
That's not stormwater, that's inside.
Okay, thank you for the conversation. Thanks for being willing to do that, Larry and Kelly. I appreciate it. I did not know that you guys have been working on this for 8 years, so that's...
And during that 8-year period, things have there has been some positive things happening out there.
Yeah.
I think the last pole building was under Mayor Glossley, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And so time gets away from us.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Anything else, Larry?
I want to thank Mark for letting us use his rototiller. We had that big outage at down by Kreider's meat market, and the roller skating rink, we did a lot of damage here, and now it's looking very nice.
Great.
I want to thank Mark for letting us borrow his equipment. So, thank you.
gentlemen. Appreciate that.
Oh, one thing else, did we get a motion? We got a motion to, for me to go ahead and make the specs.
I don't know if we need to have a motion. Oh. I think you just got the unanimous consent.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. Jeff.
Are you sure you're not? Go ahead and ask until come on.
Okay, as part of our obligations sometimes and borrowing money from the state through the feds, we're obligated to do reports and surveys. And I want to thank Mike Cook helping me last week put together our answers for the Indiana Finance Authority on the needs survey that they had requested we complete. Also, part of our reporting is a semi-annual report that goes to IDEM because we're borrowing money that is federal money for our sewer projects. And for some reason, US EPA likes to keep track of that money and what it's being used for. And Rosie got those two reports in yesterday and today for me. Last week, I met with GAI and the county officials, specifically the health department and Tom Redlick, on the Quessy sewer and water study. And at that meeting, along with what Mike Cook and Mike Deere both provided me, I think that we've got all the information now that we need for them to package together the overall project study scope and then anticipated costs of what that would be. I want to just remind you that this is a county project at this point with participation of the city because we have municipal utilities. Also, was a part of a brownfield meeting last week regarding existing industry here in town that has a brownfield site and working through some nuances to that. And I don't think that there's any quick answers to any brownfield that we have in Columbia City. Essentially, what we have to do is to take each site on a case-by-case basis and look at what it is going to take partnership-wise to get it back into being a viable, productive property. And no different than what we're doing with this one that we met on last week. The mayor, Alan Teo, myself, and IMPA representatives were working with a local industry today. We'll continue to in the next several weeks, looking at ways that they can improve efficiencies in their operations and how that would be affected by the rates and what it means to the city. And as you know, with any business, large and small, it has an impact on our utilities. Over the last few years, you've seen that rate adjustments have made a difference in conservation efforts and have impacted specifically the water utility most recently. So we have to continue to work with the businesses in a way that is a win-win as best as it can be. And so that's kind of where we're at on that. We'll keep you up to date on that. I don't think I've got anyone else to thank tonight. The good Lord for the weather that we've had. It's about to come our way.
Questions to Jeff? Thank you. Mike?
We ran another service line for 401 North Oak and then set a T and valve in place, put a 6-inch hydrant at that intersection and done away with the old 4-inch and small 4-inch main that wasn't really doing anything up in that area. Then we fixed a leak on a 1-inch service line out on Governor's Drive. Done about 28 locates. And then been working on some paperwork for the permit for the City Ford job. Right now it's in the mail, going to the owner for his signature. The engineer's already signed off on it, so once I get it back from the owner, that'll be sent down to the state for their approval so they know we're going to be doing that job. Some of that material is going to start arriving next week, and hopefully we'll be in there probably by the end of April. once all the dirt gets moved around to start that. And on the week of April 16th to 20th, we're going to be flushing fire hydrants.
Does the water department typically do that?
Yeah.
Okay. In conjunction with the fire department or no?
They've never participated in this town, no.
We do hydrant checks. We don't flush them.
Okay.
Sounds like other communities do that.
No, they don't.
Oh. Thanks, Tom. Any questions of Mike? Okay. Yep. Thanks, Mike. Terry.
Excuse me. Been working out at the park upgrading their office products to the same version because they share a lot of files in between everybody that works out there. So we're getting them all on the same version and setting up a new computer for the person that they're going to hire out there, the new position that they're going to create. Had to send one of the water department computers back to the manufacturer to have a fan replaced in it because it was still under warranty, so they wouldn't let me tear it apart. We added two surge suppressors to cameras out at the park again, still trying to stop power damage. Seems like a never-ending battle out there. Finished moving the computers and the printers and the database at the MSF. Only have one thing left to work with. Sean Licky on it doing the SCADA computer. We're going to move it. Continue to update Facebook and the website. Facebook is going to be changing their profile the 30th of March, so if you don't like the way it looks, I didn't do it.
Is that the timeline?
Yeah.
Thing?
March 30th. So I still need a couple. Mayor, if you could get some of the council people to turn in their bios, it would be helpful. Thank you. That's all I have.
Done.
Terry, can you comment a little bit more on the camera thing? Judging by the look that I got, it might have been New Year's.
I know it's been an ongoing battle. Well, is there ways in which we can? I mean, I know that's what you're
thinking about.
Think
about moving the park.
What? Moving the park?
Yeah. Most of our
can't put like a metal antenna like
most of
above that
around the Indian burial ground.
Oh yeah. Okay.
We'd like to move that.
Good. Good. Very good. Well, I think we're hoping we don't run into that in the back of the property in the first place, but.
We just seem to have the issues are right in that area. I mean, the rest of the everything else is fine, but
that area,
and it's always right there.
Okay,
Larry's have you the ground for the power out there? Is it ever magnet to see what your ground is? I mean,
to voltage the ground? I've not done that. No, I have not myself. I don't know.
Would there? I'm just saying. I mean, would there be value to look at that?
Are you talking about the magnetism of the ground, or?
Well, on your power poles, you got grounds at every pole, right?
Right.
And sometimes
we're not even on the poles anymore.
Oh, you're not on the poles? Oh, okay.
We moved one over to the building, to one of the sheds, and we've got power UPSs on it, you know, to take care of brownouts and power fluctuations. And I think it's the raccoon.
Do you get too much voltage?
Yeah.
Do you try to voltage stabilize?
I'm not sure what the surge
This is over and above the surge. This is a stabilizer. We can try one of those.
That would be great. Anything that would work would be great.
So but you think it's coming in on the power side?
That's what they seem to think, yeah.
Worth a try, Larry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get one.
Very good.
That's all I have.
It's only $60,000.
Win it to him, will you?
I'll write it up on
Stormwater. Thanks, Terry. Mike Cook.
I mailed out our NPDES application today to the state. You remember a couple weeks ago, I reported here, we were having trouble with our pressure transmitter on our digester. I finally got information back from them and have a model number, so we're in the process. They shot us a price. For a new one, they changed the transmitter that we have, they no longer use. They switched to a different one. That one's discontinued and no longer made. The one that they use now is actually a better model, and we have those throughout our facility. We're using to monitor pressure on other things. So everything will be uniform then. Once we do find this, I didn't like their price that they gave me, so I'm gonna try to find it somewhere else. And we're also researching the technical data on to see if it's something that we can replace ourselves. and not have to hire anybody. We may have to have somebody come in and calibrate it because it takes a special unit that you have to plug into it to calibrate, which we do not have. There's some issues with pump number one at Main Street. It has a seal that started to leak. So I've been working with the contractor that installed that, and we're going to try to come to a resolution on that between us, the contractor, and SNL. We're still working on that. That pump is shut down for right now, so it doesn't damage itself or anything. I got a few other things, but I'll say it goes for council if that's okay.
Okay. Questions of Mike?
They're just, it's nothing that has to do with money. They're just points.
Okay. No. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Marcia?
I have nothing.
You doing okay today?
Yes, I am.
That's good. I'm so glad to hear that. Feels like it's been an eon since I've seen you. Rosie?
No.
Walt?
Just record keeping. We approved the bills, but we never acknowledged the bills verbally for a record.
Okay.
And so it's recorded. I think we normally do that. So. Well, I got.
I have them. I apologize.
Okay. I just wonder if we should.
Just tell the total amount.
Yeah.
Okay. Total amount for the bills for today, March 27th, 2012, that we've approved. Is the total amount of $954,139.60. Again, 954-139.60.
I have nothing else.
Okay. Thank you, Walt. I'm going to leave the parking committee stuff to Dan so he has something to talk about, if that's okay. I don't really have much today, so... Legislature is out of session, and all is well. So, thank you. I'll fill in whatever. Yeah, go ahead and do parking committee discussion now. We'll also do it. We'll let Bill do it in council.
Okay. I was going to say there's a lot of issues brought up that has been brought to the parking committee through the survey that was sent out. One of the
downtown business owners.
Yeah, downtown business owners filled out surveys, and one of the issues, obviously, everybody has different means for parking in front of their establishment. But bottom line is, there's just no way to make a block bigger and create more parking. But one of the areas we looked at is our employee parking over off the where the current employees are parking now. We're looking at when Line Street expansion or development takes place, the area that's currently grassy area next to the current city parking lot, that looks we could put some angle parking in there. I think it was 8 spaces that we could create, and maybe make 3 to 4 of those spaces employee parking, and then the rest, the farthest ones away, obviously, for employee parking, and the one closer for
2 hour or something.
Yeah, 2 hour parking. That's under consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Adding a handicap parking space in front of the Clugston. We're reevaluating how to handle the parking immediately in front with the police parking. You know, we've been considering a couple options there as well. And there are a couple other areas in town that we're looking at to help improve. Add more parking. I'm not so sure it's more convenient, but it's more parking spaces. It's again, most of the business owners and they're concerned immediately in front and of their business. And, we talked about raising the fees from $5 to $10. Discussion was held about every 2 hours, do they get another ticket on top of that? And I think we've pretty well left it as a one-time ticket
per day.
But other than that, we're, you know, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
I don't know if it ever ends, quite honestly, but there are some other opportunities for us.
Well, just to add to that, I think we have, you know, the parking committee has definitely taken some time to look at the current ordinance and see if we're going to change the ordinance or update the ordinance, we might as well do the whole kit and caboodle together so we don't have to do multiple ordinance changes. And so that's what it's being looked at. We're looking at, we've obviously, as Dan said, we've kind of gotten the input of the downtown business owners to make sure we know what their opinions are, because they're the ones that are obviously directly affected by that. We've also been dealing with the issue of having, at times, not having enough spaces in the employee parking lot here in the city, and ways in which we can free up some spaces around the courthouse, in front of City Hall, and in different places like that. So just wanted to bring that up at the Board of Works. Appreciate you doing that, Dan. And it'll end up being an ordinance change somewhere in the next, I'm going to guess, in the next couple of months, 2 to 3, maybe 4 months, depending on how things go. It'll be that specific project in regards to adding additional parking there near that parking lot will be done in conjunction with the water and street department improvements happening on Line Street there. So, okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? We're out early tonight. Thank you, everyone. We'll call this meeting adjourned.